Bibles this morning, go ahead, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Joel, and chapter number 3. Now, that's in the Old Testament. I'll give you just a few moments to find your place. We don't preach a lot, simply what's considered the minor prophets. Once in a while, the Lord touches our heart and brings us to the Old Testament. And certainly, there's a lot of great things certainly contained within the Old Testament. And, of course, God basically dealing, if you will, with the children of Israel. Of course, as we're going to look today, as Joel is prophesying and writing, of course, pertaining to the children of Israel, but also pertaining to you and I this morning. And so I want us to look at some scripture here in chapter number 3. Now, Joel just contains three chapters, and you'll find in his writing, we don't find a lot about him personally as far as mentioned in the Bible, but we find that God inspired him to write these three chapters now here in the Old Testament, and pretty much pertaining with a time of judgment. With the time of judgment, as certainly God will judge as he has to, and we'll talk more about that as we get into the message this morning. But God began to burden my heart about some things here that Joel is writing about, and I pray that each of us will consider in our hearts where we stand with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because judgment is coming, just like it was in many of your Sunday school lessons today about Noah and the day of judgment. Here, Joel is also prophesying and writing about a time of judgment. But verse 14 is going to be our text verse this morning. God just kept speaking to my heart about verse number 14, and I'll read that in just a few moments this morning. But the thought that I want to bring before you this morning, or want to leave you with, as far as the title for the message, is simply this: are you still undecided? Are you still undecided? I'm afraid there's a lot of people this morning that is undecided concerning their relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're still undecided this morning, I pray that through this message and through the Word of God, that God would deal with your heart and bring you to the realization that the greatest thing that you need today is to trust Him as your personal Lord and Savior. I'll tell you what, judgment's an awful thing. It's a horrible thing as you study your Bible, as you study not only the book of Joel, but the book of Ezekiel, and the book of Daniel, and the book especially of the Revelation. And I don't have time, certainly, to deal with all about the judgments this morning. But friend, one day you will stand before God. I want you to know that. I want you to realize that. And as the choir so wonderfully sang this morning, there will be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord this morning. And friend, you can either do it now, certainly in salvation, or you can do it one day to your own condemnation. And so this morning, again, the title or the thought is, are you still undecided? We're in an election year, and I'm not going to talk a lot about that, but, you know, they talk on TV and the news that there's a lot of people out there that are still undecided about how they're going to vote. Now, this morning, I don't want us to think about that, but again, a lot of folks still undecided whether or not you're going to truly trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So that being said this morning, if you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God, if you're able to stand, and certainly if you're not, that's okay. For the sake of time, I'm going to start reading now in verse number 9, but I would encourage you, maybe in your personal Bible study in the next day or two, just go through and read these three chapters. I've read them over the last couple of days and read over them. And man, I'll tell you, they're short, but man, it's a short book, little book. But it's a powerful little book as Joel is writing and prophesying about the judgment of Almighty God. Notice, if you will, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Verse 14 is what God really spoke to my heart about. I want you to notice that God not only mentions it once, but he mentions it twice. Notice this, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord, I like this, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence today, Father, to thank you again for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the privilege to be back in your house this morning. God, thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the good singing. Lord, every prayer that's been offered. Lord, all that's been done. Lord, in your name this morning, Father, I give you praise. I give you honor and I give you glory. Thank you for your precious word. I pray now as your servant, God, this morning. God, you anoint me afresh and anew. Lord, I realize that Satan will do everything he can today to try to hinder, Father, this message. God, we're dealing with a very serious subject here this morning. So many people still undecided whether or not they're going to truly follow and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this morning, God, you'd anoint your servant afresh and anew. God, take me and God, use me now here this morning, Father, for just a little while. Oh, God, I need your touch and I need your help. I pray this morning as the Word of God goes out, I pray ears and hearts be open and receptive unto the Word of God, especially that one that could be here today. Lord, they've never trusted you as Savior. I pray the convicting power of God would fall upon their heart and bring them to the realization that the greatest need they have today, Father, is to trust you. That one that might be cold and indifferent, oh God, touch them as well. And touch us all and help us all. That people are facing judgment. Help us to do our part to get out the good news of the gospel. I pray use us now. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Now, if you were here last Sunday, we preached out, of course, of the book of Peter and talked about what it means to be saved. And it just seemed like that God began to stir in my heart after I preached that message last Sunday that he's brought my heart now to these verses here and the book of Joel. Now, I don't want to take them out of context of what God is speaking or saying through the prophet Joel here and writing. Now, we know this morning that he's writing to the Jews, to the nation of Israel. And so this evening, not all the Bible was written directly to us, but it was written for us. And so we find as you talk about judgment, you talk about tribulation and great tribulation, and you talk about that time, the day of the Lord, and certainly we know that God's going to use that time to draw back the children of Israel. Certainly because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly as the Messiah the first time. And we find that God, certainly because that they are his chosen people. Let me say that. They were his chosen people then, and he is still their chosen people. Israel is because of the promise that he made to Abraham, because of Abraham's faithfulness unto God. And so Israel's still special in the eyes of God. And so we find that there's going to be a time of judgment that's going to come down upon this world. And we find that they're going to come, this valley of Jehoshaphat, and I'll talk about this more in just a moment. There's some interesting things about all of that. But we find also that all the armies of the world are going to one day come against Israel. But I'll tell you what, the God of heaven is going to take care of that. He's going to judge that. And friend, you don't don't want to be a part of that. You say, preacher, I don't believe there's nobody here that would be a part of that. Well, friend, today you're either for him or you're against him. You're either for his people or you're against him. And today, I'll tell you what, there's no greater place to be than to be for the Lord Jesus Christ and to be for his people and to be for his cause today. But I will say again in the title, are you still undecided? I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about putting on a Sunday morning religion. I'm talking about having a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, there's a great difference today than knowing about the Lord Jesus and knowing him as your personal Lord and Savior. And so this morning, are you still undecided? As the prophet Joel prophesies, he is warning there is a day of judgment that is coming, that Jesus Christ himself will come against all nations and people who have rebelled and rejected him and his people. So many people, as we've already said this morning today, seem to be undecided who they believe and who they will follow. Again, the question lies before you and lies before me this morning. Are you still undecided? If so, today is your day to turn to Christ and follow him. Now, as you study your Bible, I believe, and you and I are dealing with God this morning in our own situation, is that we deal with today, because tomorrow we do not know anything about. Now, God already is in tomorrow. He is eternal, and we understand that. But you and I, as we think about our own lives today, and as we deal with the things of God, then, friend, it is today. Let me give you a few verses of Scripture this morning, the book of Hebrews especially, and chapter number 3 and verse number 7, the Bible says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. I'm glad you can still hear his voice. Not the audible voice of God, but I'm glad we can have him speak to our hearts. Hallelujah, through the Holy Ghost of God that will help us and show us what we need in our hearts and our lives. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, verse number 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Again, speaking of the children of Israel there, the writer of Hebrews, talking about that day when they hardened their hearts and turned a deaf ear unto the Lord Jesus or to God and did not follow him. That word hardened simply means to be stubborn. Have you ever been stubborn on God? I believe that most of us here, if we be honest before the Lord, there's times that we have stubbed up on God. Amen. I know that I have, and I'm probably sure that many of you have. But friend, we don't need to do that. Just as the children of Israel, I stubbed up on God, if you will, there in the wilderness. And my, what a great cost that it cost them, as they did not listen to the direction and the desire of Almighty God. And so not only do you find that Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7, but you also find it in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 15. God says it again, today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart. And then also in chapter number 4 and verse number 7 of the book of Hebrews, God says it again, today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart. I'm telling you this morning, friend, I'm afraid so many people in this day and hour have hardened their heart to the things of God. In other words, we say we want it our way, like the Burger King way. I'll just have it my way. Well, friend, you can't have it your way, and I can't have it my way when it comes to the things of God. It's either God's way or it's the wrong way. Now, each of us need to decide who we're going to listen to, who we're going to follow, who we're going to commit to this morning. We all must decide, are we going to follow Jesus this morning? Are we going to follow our own way? Oh, my soul. So many people are undecided. We call that fence straddling. Hey, man, you ever tried to straddle a fence? Well, I'll tell you what, you might do it for a little while, especially a barbed wire fence or even an electric fence. You might be able to get along for just a little while. Maybe we're talking about farming this morning. Amen. If you've ever tried to straddle the fence, you might do it for just a little while. But somewhere along the way, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get caught in the barbed wire, or you're going to get you the shock of your life. You say, preacher, how you know? Because I tried some of that stuff when I was a boy. It don't work real well. And I'm afraid today in the spiritual realm of things, this morning there's a lot of folks that's still undecided and straddling the fence. They want to go to heaven when they die. Who in their right mind wouldn't want to go to heaven when they die? The only thing is they want to try to go their way. They want to try to do their works or their thing this morning. But friend, there is no other way than by the way of the cross. You must come through bloody Calvary this morning. There is, hallelujah, no other way. And friend, if you don't get right with God, then judgment is on the way. Now, people like to preach about the love of God, and I like to preach about the love of God. But friend, there's another side of God. There's the judgment of God. If God judged Noah's day, like we talked about in the Sunday school class, if God judged Noah's day, and God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and God even judged the children of Israel in a sense, then friend, we are certainly not immune to the fact that one day we'll face the judging hand. America is headed for judgment. And all those nations that come against Israel one day is headed for judgment. You think that fellow that went into that church or that synagogue in Pennsylvania yesterday, that he's going to get away with what he does? Oh, I don't know if the judicial system will do anything with him or not. I have no idea. I'm sure they probably will. But friend, one day he's going to have to stand before, hallelujah, the great I Am, the God of heaven, the true and the living God, the I Am of the I Ams this morning. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Listen, friend, judgment is coming to those that reject God today. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Oh, so many in America feel like they're getting away with it. Remember David, the psalmist David? There's many times in those psalms that he's writing and he's singing, he feels like the enemy's getting away with it. But you know what God reminds him? God reminds him that they're not getting away with a thing. And it's not that we won't have to see people face judgment. It's not that God wants to see people face judgment. But God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God is a just God in whatever he does. And so judgment, for those that rebel and reject the way of God, judgment is coming. Now let's come to our text this morning. For just a few moments, I want to share about three or four things quickly. Judgment's on the way and the chicken's on the way. I'll take the chicken over judgment any day of the week. Hey, man. But I want us to be serious. This is just as serious can be. We come now to the book of Joel. And we come to these particular verses, and not only these verses, but again, if you'll read all three chapters here, it'll help you to understand here how Joel is writing and what he's writing about. But here we come to these particular verses that we shared into your hearing this morning. And I want you to notice again in verse number 14, multitudes. Now to the lost sinner this morning, that ought to grab your attention. But also, could I say to the saint of God this morning, that ought to grab our attention. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. In that same valley of Jehoshaphat that Joel's writing about here in the prior verses. It is that same valley this morning that he's writing about. There's multitudes and multitudes. It's going to fall under the judging hand of God. Man, that ought to grip our hearts today. And friend, I don't want you to be part of that multitude. Multitudes. God didn't say it once, he said it twice. Multitudes. God help us today. Are you still undecided? Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to listen to? Don't listen to this world. Don't listen to the God of this world. You say, preacher, there's a God of this world. According to the Bible, there is. There's the prince and the power of the air. There's old Satan, and he's going to do everything that he can to keep you getting right with God and even keeping you getting right with God today. I want you to notice three or four things quickly this morning about being undecided. This valley of decision, as Joel is writing about now, God's not undecided. God, when he comes to this place of judgment, unfortunately, his decision's already been made. But friend, you don't have to be in that valley. You don't have to be in that place of judgment. Hallelujah, I'm glad, thank God, 2,000 plus years ago, my judgment was taken care of at a place called Calvary. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But I want you to notice three or four things real quickly here, and I'll get into them. Number one, are you still undecided? Number one, as we consider this valley of decision, this valley of Jehoshaphat, as we said, as we find here in the text that we read in verse number 12, is also known as the Kedron Valley. If you study the Kedron Valley, you'll also realize that this Kedron Valley is the same valley that Jesus crossed on his way to Calvary. It's also said about this Kedron Valley, or this place of Jehoshaphat, or this valley of decision, where the temple was and where the altar was and where the blood would run off of the altar, it would run down and come down into the Kidron Valley, into this valley of Jehoshaphat. And Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus himself one day crossed over that valley. Thank God, I'm telling you what, paying the sin debt. Hallelujah, headed to Calvary to pay the sin debt of the whole world. As you study about this valley, you'll also find it is the one that's called Armageddon. And I don't have time to get into all this morning, but it's also the valley that's between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, which in modern times has been used by the Jews as a burying ground. This same valley that Joel is writing about has been used by modern-day Jews as a burial ground. And so think about that, a place of judgment. The valley of decision. I'll give you something here this morning for us to think about. Number one, this valley of decision, this day of judgment, I want you to think about the sadness of that day. The sadness of that day. You say, preacher, why would you talk about the sadness of that day? When you see in verse 14 again, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. I believe, first of all, the day and the sadness of that day, as we think about that multitudes, number one, it's an unimaginable number. Oh, preacher, God, again, it's a God of love. He wouldn't do that. Friend, he has to. And it's not so much what he has to do. It's because of the decision that mankind has made to rebel and to reject his way of salvation. Man, there's no greater demonstration of love that's ever been demonstrated. Friend, when you look at Calvary today, when Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, would go to the cross and lay down his life. But I think about the sadness of this day. Multitudes, multitudes. Now let me say, for those that are saved and redeemed by the grace of God, see, we'll be with him when he comes back to bring this judgment on this earth. Hey, we're coming with him. Hallelujah. We don't have to go through it. Man, if that don't get you excited, I don't know what's wrong. We don't have to face the judging hand of God if you're saved and redeemed. But it also ought to break our hearts to think about multitudes and multitudes in this valley of decision. I thought about, first of all, it's an unimaginable number. Not only did I think about being an unimaginable number, but secondly, I thought about being an unprepared number. Unprepared. Amos makes the statement, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. You say, well, preacher, that's still Old Testament. Well, I'll tell you what, when you come to the New Testament, Jesus went and bled and died. And friend, you have every opportunity in the world to get right with God and get right with God today. Why in the world wouldn't you want to get right with God today?
Well, preacher, I'm still kind of undecided. You're in that valley of decision. And friend, if you continue in that valley, you'll be along with this multitude. Or could be along with this multitude. Multitudes, multitudes. A valley of decision. It's an unimaginable number. It's an unprepared number. Friend, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to bring judgment. He came to bring salvation. But because of your rejection. And see, I'm amazed at people today. They say they're saved, but they never live like they're saved. God help us today. If you're saved, you ought to live like you're saved. And if you're not saved, you ought to get saved and quit playing the games of church and salvation. It's too serious. Your eternal soul hangs in the balance. I see the sadness of this day. Multitudes. Multitudes. That ought to burden any church today. That ought to put a fire in our hearts and our souls today to go out and tell the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you don't have to go through the judgment of God. That your sins has already been paid for. Notice this morning, as I thought about the sadness of that day, I thought about that unimaginable number. I thought about that unprepared number. Friend, if you've ever had an opportunity to get right with God and rejected God, you're responsible before God. You have no excuse. Now notice here, Joel's talking about these people coming together and beating their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spear. They're coming to battle against God and God's people. But friend, you'll find they fail. Oh, it might look like they're winning now. As I said, we talk about David, and many times he felt like the enemy was winning, and he couldn't understand why he felt like they were being blessed more than he was, and sometimes we feel the same way. Friend, I'm telling you, the final chapter has not concluded yet. God's not done. God's not finished. Judgment is coming. But the sad part, multitudes, multitudes, unimaginable numbers. Unprepared number. And I want you to notice in the sadness of this day, not only is it unimaginable, not only are they unprepared, but I want you to find the urgency or the lack of urgency in that valley of decision. Instead of coming to God, they're coming against God. You know, that's what the world's doing today. The world today is not seeking out God. Not for the most part. Now, thankfully, there are still folks today that I believe out there that want to know the true and the living God. But, friends, so many people have opportunity. They sit in the church pew, maybe week after week. They've had a praying mama. They've had a praying daddy. They've been taught right. But yet, they will not give in and decide to follow Jesus. They see no urgency. Listen today. I believe Jesus could come back at any moment, any time. I believe He could come today before we get that chicken eat after a while. He could come. You say, preacher, I've heard that all my life. We talked about that out of the book of Peter last week. That's what the scoffers are saying. Oh, we've heard that and we've heard that and we've heard. Friend, just hold on. God's promised it and it's going to happen. I can guarantee you. Why? Because God has declared it so. But there's no urgency among people today to get right with God. Could I say there seems to be no urgency in God's people being concerned? Maybe they'd be a little bit more urgent and concerned about their situation if you and I were more concerned about them. Oh, Lord, help us right here. I hadn't even wrote this down. God just given this to me. Man, there ought to be urgency on our part. Well, preacher, they don't want to hear it. Well, tell them anyhow. They don't want to hear it. Pray for them anyhow. They can't stop you from praying. Man, if Jesus comes back, those that are saved, hey, it's great for us. We're out of here, brother. We're out of here. But for those that are left behind, multitudes, multitudes, there seems to be no urgency. Lord, help us here at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church that there will be a sense of urgency that would evolve out of our pews. Amen, preacher. That would evolve out of our pews and get out into the world around about us and to our families and to our neighbors and to our friends and to those that we have opportunity. Well, preacher, we support missions. Yes, hallelujah, and thank God for that. But friend, every one of us have a mission on our mind or we should, and a mission in our heart. Thank God as we let this world know, hey, you better get right with God. Judgment's on the way. You say, preacher, everybody else is getting by. No, they're not. Ain't nobody getting away. I done said that. There ain't nobody. I know somebody sitting there. Why the Holy Ghost would put that back in my head? Because there's somebody sitting here saying, well, I'm getting away with it, preacher. Oh, no, you're not getting away with it. He knows everything. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. And I say this often. He knows all that, but he loves us anyhow. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. May not love what we're doing and how we're living, but he loves us. But I want you to notice in this sadness of this day, not only an unimaginable number and an unprepared number, but there's no urgency to get right with God. Now, I know how the devil works. When God begins to deal with our hearts about getting right with God, he begins to slip in and say, well, just wait till the next service. Huh? Just wait till the next opportunity. I wonder how many people died and went to hell waiting for the next opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. I want you to notice not only the sadness, and I just can't get, as God began to touch my heart about these verses of Scripture and preaching this service this morning, I know we have folks visiting with us, and listen, I'm glad you're here. I thank God that you're here. But there's somebody that come in this morning that's undecided about whether or not you're going to follow Jesus or not. God help us that there would be an urgency in the message. There's enough playing around. There's enough. Hey, you can go to places and get you sugar-coated messages one right after the other. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, there's not many places anymore that you'll get the gospel truth. God help us. God help the men of God in this day to rear back, get in this book and preach the gospel truth, to preach the whole counsel of God so that men, women, boys, and girls don't have to die and face the judgment of Almighty God. There ought to be an urgency. I got to move on, but I'm still burdened. Multitudes. Multitudes. In the valley of decision. I see the sadness of that day. Not only do I see the sadness of that day, but secondly, I see the sorrow of that day. The time of judgment for all who reject Christ. Hebrews chapter number 10, again in verse number 31, the Bible says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. I'll be honest with you, there's not much fear of God anymore. Not that we should shimmer and shake and all those kinds, but praise God, there ought to be a respect for the true and the living God and for His things and for His Word and for His people. You think things are bad now. You think things are wicked now. Friend, you don't know what bad is till you fall into the hands of the judgment of God. Notice the writer of the book of Hebrews says it's a fearful thing. Boy, that makes me think about the sorrow of that day. All those people coming down into that valley and think they're going to defeat the true and the living God, and they're going to destroy God's people, the children of Israel. Friend, they're wrong. They're wrong. It's amazing to me as you study history, and you already know this, how many times that they've tried to annihilate the Jews. It's been tried. But friend, it'll never be accomplished. God's going to bring judgment against those nations and those people. But see, you say, preacher, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Sure it does. If you don't know God today, you're going to face judgment as well. They're in that valley of decision. That place of judgment. I see it not only as a sadness of that day, but I see it as a sorrow of that day. And I want to say this today. It's not what He wants to do, speaking of God. Do you think God wants to bring judgment? No. The Bible says God is love. And thank God He is, as I've already said today. I'm glad we can preach the love of God. But friend, it's not what He wants to do, but it's what He has to do. Why? Because He's God. Because He's holy. Because He's right. Because He is just. He has to bring judgment on sin and rejection. There is no sadder day than the day of judgment, the day of the Lord. And there's a lot that goes into all that. I don't have time to get into all that, but I think about the sadness of that day. I think about the sorrow of that day. I think about the surety of that day. It's just as sure as you and I sitting right here in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. Now, as you study the book of the Revelation, again, I don't have time to get into all this morning. I've got to hurry on and get out of here. But you find in the surety of that day of judgment, of this day of the Lord, which consists of a time of judgment, you will find in that great tribulation there are 21 separate judgments that God begins to pour out on this world. There is the seal judgments. There are the trumpet judgments. There are the bowl judgments. And there are 7 judgments within each one of those, which brings a number of 21 judgments. Just in those alone. Man, when you begin to think about hell and brimstone, you begin to think about fire, and you begin to think about the plagues, and you begin to think about the water being turned to blood. You just think about all the things that's going to transpire. And that's not it. That's not the end. There's more to come. Why? Because God has to. Because He's right. It's not that He wants to. It's that He has to. I think about the sorrow. I think about the sadness. I think about the surety of that day. But lastly, somebody says, thank God He's getting to the lastly. I think about the salvation from that day. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I think about the salvation from that day. You don't have to go through it. You don't have to be a part of it. You don't have to be under the judging hand of God. Yes, every child of God stands at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of our life. And listen, that'll be tough enough, I can promise you. But friend, as far as my sin and my rejection, I'm glad it was taken care of the very moment that I bowed an old-fashioned altar and cried out to the Lord Jesus, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." There's salvation from that day. Thank God there's salvation from that day for those that will trust Christ. They'll never have to worry about that day. Look what he says in verse 16. "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake." I mean, earthquakes. And Joel just, he doesn't give us all the judgment. He just gives us a little highlight of the judgment. But notice, even in the midst of all that, what he says here in the latter part of verse number 16, "But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." My hope's not in this world. My hope's not in religious affiliation this morning. My hope is anchored in, thank God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad because of that day of salvation, I'll not have to face the judging hand of God. But multitudes and multitudes will. Is that right? Salvation. 2 Corinthians 6. 2, the latter part of verse number 2, the Bible says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." You don't know about tomorrow, as I've already said, and I don't either. The rapture could take place, death could come, tragedy, accident. Hey, anything can happen. Today. Behold, now. Today is the day of salvation. Preacher, what must I do? Romans 10:9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And I like in our English language, God puts a period right there. What does that mean, preacher? That means it's settled. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. That means it's settled. You say, "Preachers, is that simple?" Thank God it is. You mean, preacher, I don't have to go through the judging hand of God or face the judgment of God or this valley of decision that you've been preaching about this morning? If I just simply put my faith and my trust and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what I'm telling you this morning. Preacher, it's that simple. It's that simple. But so many people seem to be undecided. Now, I could understand in this political mess of world we're living in, you might be undecided about who to vote for. You don't have to be undecided about where you're going to eat lunch today, because we got some. Or we better have, or I'm in trouble. I think most of the arguments in marriage get started just, "Honey, where do you want to eat?" "I don't know." "I don't care, wherever you want to eat." Hey, man, I'm still preaching, right? "Well, just wherever you want to," and then you pull it out. "Well, I didn't want that." Maybe undecided as a young person what you're going to do for a career. Maybe undecided about who you're going to marry. Maybe undecided about where you're going to live. But friend, you better not be undecided when it comes to this thing called salvation. Multitudes, multitudes. The valley of decision.
In that same valley, in that battle of Armageddon, they say the Bible, the book of the Revelation, tells us that the blood will run to the horse's bridle. That's a big old valley. Why? Because the judging hand of God has come down on those who have rebelled and rejected Him. And friend, it don't have to be that way. You don't have to face the judging hand of God. Matter of fact, His hand of compassion, His hand of grace, His hand of mercy, His hand of forgiveness, His hand of long-suffering is outstretched to you here today. Can you say with all your heart, as is in that song, I have decided to follow Jesus? If not, would you decide to follow Him today? And I realize salvation is more than just saying, I'm just going to start following Jesus. It's a commitment. It's a confession. It's a conversion. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Are you still undecided? Don't you think that today, that it's time to decide? Maybe some of you that are saved today, maybe you've just been half-heartedly following Him. Man, it'd be a good day for you to decide, you know what, I'm just going to go all in. The hour's too urgent. See, that multitude. And then when you come to the great white throne judgment, which is the last judgment, all those who have rejected and rebelled against God one day to be cast into a lake of fire. And the Bible says forever and forever and forever. It's a serious thing. Where do you stand with God? Maybe you're here with a family member today. Maybe God, through His holy word and through His Holy Spirit, has knocked on your heart. And let you know that you need a Savior. Today is your day. Maybe you're here and you've been coming in and coming in and coming in. Today's your day. Preacher, I think I'll wait till next week. God's long-suffering. He is long-suffering, but I don't know if you got till next week. You might have, and I hope you do. But man, get right with Him today. Not have to worry about it. Pillow your head in peace tonight, knowing that you'll not have to face the judging hand of God. As we stand to our feet all over the building, Brother Scotty, Father, we love You today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the precious Word of God. Thank You for the privilege to stand, Father, in this pulpit one more time and try to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. And Father, there may be somebody here today, Lord, they're just undecided. Maybe they've been trying to straddle the fence, but yet they've never truly thrown in and repented of their sin, called upon Christ to come into their heart and save them, and committed to following Him. And Lord, there may be those here today that maybe they've been saved, but maybe they've strayed from following You, Lord, like they should. Lord, I just commit the invitation into Your hands this morning. God, You speak, You move. And I pray each of us will be obedient, submissive, Lord, this morning to the Spirit of God as He moves now in the midst in our hearts. Lord, save a precious soul here today. Let them come. Lord, casting out all the things that concern them and worry them, and just come by faith and trust Christ. Lord, what a great day it would be for somebody to come and trust Christ. But Lord, that's all in Your hands. I've done all I know to do, and I put it in Your very capable hands. God, You work, You move. Help us to be obedient. And it's in Christ's name, before we begin to sing, as they play softly,